88.5 KCSN. Jeff Penfield, so pleased to be joined in studio by Lydia and Laura Rogers, better known as the Secret Sisters, and sharing some new songs from their album, You Don't Own Me Anymore. Thank you so much for joining us
today. Thank you so much for having us today.
Yeah, happy to come in.
Yeah, and you know, this is a new, this new record comes after really a few years of turmoil for you guys, because you had a former record deal, kind of fell through, fell on some hard times, but you know, it's kind of amazing how much passion certain people had out there, and it was kind of a combination of people, one of them really being Brandi Carlile. Mm-hmm. She produced the album, but how did you guys get connected with her, and how did she kind of pull you out of that that place that you were in at that point?
We met Brandi in 2011. She was one of the very first tours we ever did. It was her and Ray LaMontagne, and just ever since that tour, she has just kind of been like a big sister to us and taken us under her wing and given us great advice along the way and brought us out on several tours since then. And she's just been really kind to us, and she really didn't have to be, but she has been. And when we went through kind of the dark period of our careers, she was there the whole time coaching us through it and helping us to navigate all of that. And then we actually were supposed to, or we went to open two shows for her in Seattle in December of 2015. And she heard a few of our newer songs that we had kind of pulled together. And she was impressed by the songs and wanted to get involved. And within a couple months of those shows, we were in the studio in Seattle and tracking the record throughout all of 2016. So she's really been a champion for us ever since that time.
Cool. And one of the things it seems like that was very helpful, like you had big name producers before. You worked with Dave Cobb, you worked with T-Bone, mm-hmm. Burnett, but really this time around it almost seemed like the fact that she was also an artist, she had been in your position before, there's a little bit, and I don't want to, I also want to talk about the Hanseroth twins too, because they were in the studio as
just as involved,
having a few people involved who are artists themselves, it seemed like it really clicked for you in the studio in that sense that, you know what, these are people who understand where we're coming from, and there was a little bit more of a connection there as you recorded the album.
That's so true. I think that, you know, just the way that the, you know, Brandi and the twins, they just have this dynamic that is so powerful in their live setting. And so as actual live performance artists, the input that they had on the record was just unmatched. I mean, they just had this way of kind of, you know, telling us how to sing certain things in a way that would deliver it more powerfully, or, you know, they allowed us to have really tender moments where things got a little more, you know, fragile and vulnerable. And I just think that, you know, that was a really unique trait of theirs that they've honed just from being on the road for so long. And I think that, you know, always in the back of their minds, they were thinking, how do we make this record in a studio just as good as it's going to be when they perform it live? And how do we make it easier to transition between being in a really nice studio and playing it in, you know, a dirty little club wherever, you know, the Secret Sisters are playing? And that was really timely and needful for us.
And they've never really produced anyone outside of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it was new for them and fun and exciting. And it was just a really good experience all around.
All my life, I ain't never been a lucky man. Saw the back of my daddy's hand. Lost your mama to the promised land. My time, I never had a thing that's mine, till they handed me a baby fine, my little girl. There are only two things I know, I get ugly when the whiskey flows. Wanted you to know I love you so, and I would kill before I let you go. Mississippi, wearing someone else's name, brought you in this world, and I can take it. you from it just the same. If you leave for Mississippi, I will beat you at your game. Brought you in this world and I can take you from it just the same. I bet he's never met a poor man's gun. In the darkness you could not see, the drunken devil is directing me. Two bullets and a crimson sea. Now I'm certain that you'll never be. Taking off from Mississippi, wearing someone else's name, brought you and I can take you from it just the same. If you leave for Mississippi, I will beat you at your game. Brought you in this world and I can take you from it just the same. Consciousness of you sets in, and the blood in my veins begins to ramble on. Now I know we can stand and judge the execution man, but we all have to make a trembling stand before the sun. Before the wine, before I stole what wasn't mine, can you bring my baby back to me? You are not far, and he places the blame on you. May this is your load. I've traveled that same road as one of the girls who sorry that your eyes are red. I'm sorry you feel blue. You will find in perfect time someone to cherish you. Let it take how long it takes, and soon it will subside. All the girls who cry for you. All the girls who cry. Ooh. Ooh.
And delving a little bit into the record itself and some of the themes that come across, I think the first one, as I was listening to it, was really the sense of home in the South. Because first three songs, Tennessee River Blue, or Tennessee River Runs Low, so Tennessee, Mississippi, and then you have King's Cotton, which is talking about going to Alabama.
Yeah.
So it really seems like that was something almost like home was a really big theme that kind of was throughout the album.
Yeah, it totally was. That's one of the things that kind of, it's what we had left whenever we went through what we went through, which was, it was a tough time. So whenever all of those things were stripped away from us, we realized that we had place and we had our family and we had our friends. And I think that those were the central themes of the entire record, and that's kind of what we dwelled on the entire time.
Yeah, I think we just wrote about, you know, not only the internal kind of frustrations that we were feeling, but just our very immediate external surroundings. And so we didn't intend to write an entire album about, you know, the geography of the South, but, you know, we're Southern people, and it isn't something that we are trying to, you know, use to our advantage or to try to get a leg up or to make us seem like we're, you know, cooler than everybody else. But we are just Southern people, and we know the South and we know the culture because we are still so deeply rooted in it. And so, you know, we just try to let life and our experiences find their way into our music. And I think that's why, you know, there's so much of that kind of Southernness throughout the record.
And that really was kind of the what I was able to pull out of it, because I've lived in North Carolina for a couple of years, and just, you know, the viewpoints, because you, the other two records that you recorded, one was in Nashville, which is, you know, it's a city, it is in the South, but it is a city.
Right.
The other one was here in Los Angeles, and, you know, the goals and the intent and what people are thinking about in those particular areas is very different than, you know, if you're in your hometown, wherever it may be, you know,
absolutely,
if you're somewhere in the South, it's like that's, to you, that's who you are. And you just were, it almost seemed like it was like you're putting your heart on your sleeve and just talking about, you know, what was important to you. And it was almost like this is reminding us of what's important to us as we go through all these different things, through the dark times, and then finally coming out of it, remember, okay, we want to be rooted in home and who we are.
That's a great point. And also we recorded our third record in Seattle. which is as far from Southern as you get. And I think us recording the album there kind of made those Southern qualities shine a little brighter. And that was a good thing for us, because if we had recorded it in Florence, Alabama or Nashville, maybe those things would have been looked over a little bit more.
Well, it was also Bear Creek Studios, which seems like it's not really like Village Studios right in the middle of the city. You look at where you were in Nashville, it's like right by a highway intersection.
Yeah.
It almost seems like you were a little more in nature when you were up in Washington.
It was much earthier, you know. We kind of just holed up in a little cabin in the woods, and every morning before we would start recording, I would go like sit by the little stream that was just so beautiful and picturesque. And you know, it was nice because we knew that we were there to work, but we were also just able to be Southern in all the right ways without it becoming too obnoxious or too cliche. And I think that, you know, there are so many places we could have made this record, but it was made exactly where it was supposed to, for sure.
Yeah, and it seems like you had some folks along the way as you were making the record and as you were coming out of it, like, because I kept looking and you kept popping up everywhere. Like, this, you were here like a year ago touring with John Paul White and doing beautiful background vocals for him, and then Dan Lais, you were on his record too.
Yeah.
So what was that, you know? I think that's also been a staple throughout your career, whether it was like right when you got started out and you're working with T-Bone or Jack or whoever, and then now it's like you still have those people who are like, man, these guys are so good. So what does that mean to still have people coming out and saying, you know, wow, the, you know, still believing in who you are and what you're able to do as musicians?
Oh, it's what has kept us going in so many ways. Again, going through what we went through, I mean, we were very, very close to hanging up our musical hats, so to speak. And so along the way, having friends like John Paul White or Dan Lais or Brandi Carlile, it was just the encouragement that we needed along the way. You know, we would look forward to one show we might have with John Paul, or sitting down to have coffee with someone who was a mentor. So it was just one little goal at a time that kept us going through it. And so, yeah, it's so important to have musical friends who understand what you're going through.
My wasted time, I'm dreaming of. lost my mind and my wasted time. I'm dreaming alone in a hotel bed that he's mine. Till all the miles erase my pain, till all the hurt is gone again, searching Tennessee town, and he's fine.
Some of the best songs we've ever written, and we're really proud of them and excited to get them in front of people and see how they translate. But apart from that, we've said this before, but I feel like it has already done what it needed to with us. We needed these songs to heal, and so writing them kind of got us out of the darkness and into the light. And so for us, we're just proud to be here, and we have a whole new perspective on things, which is nice.
Cool. Yeah. Well, best of luck to you as you head out there and share Thank these you. Songs out on the road. Gorgeous harmonies today from the Secret Sisters. Thank you so much again for coming
you.
On by.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
The new album is You Don't Owe Me Anymore. It's 88.5 KCSN.